Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And so we begin to close. Again, very short this morning. Gospel and its effects. Look at how beautiful these effects, church. And I'm just going to walk you through them. I hope you don't mind. Verses 42 to 47. I'll walk you through verses one by one. We'll try to show it to you here behind me in just 1 second. Beginning in verse 42. The gospel, a window into the church, now here at the end. The application, right? The corporate application. We talked about the individual application, now the corporate. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, to Bible study. There is no Bible for them yet. So what are they saying? Peter, tell me that story again. Luke, tell me the story again. Mark, tell me the story again. And they're just repeating the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. Church, be about Bible study. That's why we nag you so much about it. Be about Christianity Explored when I'm here on Tuesday nights. Be about that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. They were a family. They were a family. And that's why I always push you and I encourage you, be a family of faith here. If there is someone sitting in this room right now that you don't know, then you should not walk out those doors, get in your car, and go home until you say hello to them. If you're afraid, give them an elbow, for goodness sakes. You can shake my hand. You can hug me, give me a kiss. I'm not afraid. It's okay. No one here is going to kill me. But if you're afraid, you give them an elbow. Give someone a hug. This is your family of faith. These are the individuals who, when things go sideways and things go wrong, will support you and sustain you. You do not have to walk alone. Our society keeps telling you that, no, you're walking this road alone and, you know, you've got to make it. That's completely opposite of Scripture. Scripture always talked about Israel as a family, an ecclesia, a community, the Greek word says. And here you see it right away. They were a family of faith, a band of brothers. Church, get to know each other. There is strength here. Breaking of bread, a little bit of the table and a little bit of just hanging out. Invite someone to lunch. Invite someone to lunch. And to prayer. To prayer. I was telling the young kids on Friday night when we did youth group, and I kind of walked them very quickly through this passage. Church, prayer is the source of your power, because in prayer you are in the presence of God. In a miraculous way, don't ask me to explain it. No one can. There's not enough books to write about it. When you bow your head, whether you are at home, whether you are sitting at the lunch table, whether we are here, when you bow your heads for a moment of prayer, you are transported in some incredible way to the very throne room and presence of God. You are little you with head bowed, and there is God before you as you speak. And it's being in that presence that when you come out of it, you have the power to face the day. When Moses would go into the tent of meeting in the Old Testament, it says that he would come out and his face was glowing. And it was so scary that he had to cover his face to talk to the Israelites until the glow faded. When you pray before you walk out the doors of your home in the morning, you should be glowing with the Jesus on you, because you've been in the presence of God. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Don't get lost there. A lot of churches and a lot of pastors misread this phrase. They think that it's about the wonders and signs. Everybody wants to see a miracle. Everybody wants to see something incredible happen. And the wording there has nothing to do with the incredible miracles. And there's a lot of churches that are built on that. A lot of churches, and I can say this because I'm a pastor, a lot of churches that are lying to people. That if you come this morning here, you're going to walk out the door. If you came in not hearing you, is there power to do that? Yes, but in the sentence, the core part is everyone was filled with awe. And that says that they were in awe of the fact that God was among them. And being among them, special things were happening in their lives. People were being changed. People were being served. People were helping one another, giving in a radical way that had never been seen before. The wonder was in the presence of God changing people, not in some miraculous sign that would come later on. The wonder is God amongst his people. The miracle is God amongst his people. The sign is God amongst his people, changing them. God is present in that place. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 45, They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Church, keep giving. One of the things I love about our church is that we're a giving church. When it's blessing bag time, we usually have too much. We have to put some of it away for the next round. Whenever we've asked for help for some people in the community in South Miami, we have given generously and bountifully. There have been individuals here in our church which have given, hundreds of dollars, whatever has been needed. And that's one of the things I love about our church. And in fact, look, I'll fill you in. I was going to say this next week, but I can say it now. I got an email from the redevelopment director of South Miami. There's a mom with 8 children who needs our help because she doesn't have enough to make ends meet. And so I have the list sitting actually right there at the end of the pew. Next week, we'll just put a list out of little things that they need to help and bless another family from what we have. But look at this church. They gave to anyone as he had need, church. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Oh, you mean church is not optional? Every day, they met together. Let me say it in a nice way, in a respectful way. Church is not an option. It's part of our duty to the Lord to say thank you for him. Every day, they continued to meet together, it says, in the temple courts, church. Make sure you always separate your Sunday mornings. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Notice they were in church, but they also met in their homes. A little bit of both. Ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Would you agree with me that one of the things that our society lacks the most right now is sincerity? It's everywhere. Insincerity is everywhere. You can't tell if someone's trying to be nice to you, if they're trying to, form stuff to hurt. You can't even tell anymore. Church, let's be a people here, as far as we can control it, right? Ourselves, our attitude, our actions. Let's be sincere. Let's be transparent. Let's make sure that we are the same person here, that we are at home, that we are out and about. Sincerity before God and before other people. And then look at this, how beautiful. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The word there, kolos, beautiful, in the Greek, it's not so much that it was beautiful, it's that it was attractive. There's an attractiveness when a church is a family. There's an attractiveness when a church blesses the poor. There's an attractiveness when the church worships together. There's an attractiveness when a church is brothers and sisters together as one. There's a beauty to that because only God can make it happen. And in a moment when we are so divided, isn't it beautiful that we could be a model of family and of togetherness and of sincerity? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Are you surprised? You shouldn't be. It makes perfect sense. You see this kind of a community, and of course, you would want to be a part of it. So church, we finish by saying this, especially today because we have the table here before us. This community, here, us, together, is a glimpse of the future. We are supposed to look just like this community, focused on the word, focused on fellowship, focused on prayer, focused on breaking of bread, allowing God's presence to be here. So when we give, it looks like some kind of miraculous thing. We're just where our hearts are breaking for other people. This is a glimpse of the future. This is what the kingdom is going to look like forever. This is a trial run. This is the model, a small little taste of the larger reality to come as a united people of God. This is just a small little picture of the kind of communion. That's why we call it communion, because we're communing with the Lord that one day we're going to enjoy completely and fully for an eternity. Church. Sundays is not just church. Sundays is a glimpse into eternity. Sundays is a glimpse into the very home and the very heart of God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't allow it to just be some songs. Pastor Edwin says some stuff. We do some announcements and we head our way to get some lunch. It's a picture of the beautiful destiny that awaits all of us. The gospel. A window into the very heart and character of God. The effects of the gospel. Individuals that are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Churches, communities that are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Putting others before themselves. Allowing God to be at the center. And being sincere and being beautiful and that they are one. That's my prayer for our church. That's my prayer for this place. That we will look just like this first group of people that got together. They were strangers. There were strangers. 3,000 strangers. And look at what they became. And look at what God has done here. Look around you at the faces. Look around you at the people you see. And how beautiful the work of God can be among us. Let's be this first church. Let's be a reflection of this. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you that we can gather together as one, as your church. And now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for your table, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls to be refreshed and to be impacted at your table. Thank you for the love that we see in Jesus. Thank you for the good news that we have in the gospel of how much you loved us, that you will send your son to die for us. I pray that we would allow that reality and that truth to change us every day. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first in Jesus. Thank you for breaking him as we will celebrate now at the table that we might be made whole. Prepare us even now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's always a privilege on this first Sunday of the month to come before you and invite you to the Lord's table on this morning. As we always say in our church, this table is not the table of Redeemer Church Miami. It is not the table of our sister congregation, Palmetto Presbyterian Church. This is the Lord's table. And everyone who has confessed Jesus in their heart and with their lips is invited to come and be one with him. Church, before we approach the table, I would like for us to pray for a second. It's very important when we come to the table to leave our sin and mistakes outside and come bare, ready to receive blessing from the Lord. So let us bow our heads for a moment. And I want to give you a few quiet moments to pray. And then I'll pray to close us as we enter into the communion ceremony this morning. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer and to confess our sins directly to the Lord. Directly to the Lord. Let's come before the Lord in an attitude of confession. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that in his broken body we find wholeness, healing. Thank you that in his cup we are washed clean. Father, you know us inside out. We can hide things from one another, but we can't hide anything from you. So look at us now, simple people gathered here before your presence. We truly are transparent before you. Thank you that in your eternal plan and in your eternal love, you sent your Son to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to make us new. Thank you that it's that eternal love which draws us to you, that call that beckons our hearts and our souls. Forgive us. Forgive us. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out our transgressions. Make us whiter than snow. Thank you that you called and restored and used imperfect people throughout the entirety of Scripture. Abraham and Moses, Joshua, David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Peter, Paul. And you used them as instruments of change. You lifted them up out of darkness and out of guilt and shame, mistakes, to do great things for you. Because in that restoration that they experienced, they could see no other way but to stand for you. I pray that this morning here, this church, this group of people would experience that same kind of call, that same kind of change, that same kind of transformation, and that we would see no other way to live but to live for you, for your name, not ours. The spotlight on you, not on us. Thank you that that experience begins in a very simple turning towards you, repentance, and a very simple ask of forgiveness for restoration. And thank you that at the table, we experience that in its fullness. I pray that today, those that have walked in tired, anxious, worried, maybe even lonely, would walk away satisfied, filled, empowered, and knowing that they belong to a family. They are not alone. Your table declares that, and for that we are grateful. So prepare us, Lord, as we approach your table this morning. We love you. And again, we thank you for Jesus who makes this possible. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Church, on the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread and he broke it at the table with his disciples and he shared table with them. He also took the cup after supper, the scripture says, and he shared it with his disciples, with his friends. And he told them that both the body and the blood was his body and his blood being shed for them. The great promise that would be declared until he would return. Today we have that same opportunity, church. We can take part of the bread and of the cup and declare the glories of Jesus and also declare his return as we do this in remembrance of him. Having said that, church, I would like to ask this side of the church, which is to my left, to please stand where you are, and you can come to the front. Parents, if you have little ones out there, we brought some grapes for you today, so you can give the little ones grapes. They really shouldn't partake of the elements, but we'll let you come forward. There's a combination of threes and twos and ones. Get what you need for your family. Take the cup as well, and then we'll do the bread and the cup together. You may come forward this side of the church. Come down the center, please, and return by the outside aisle to where you were sitting. Church, if you have your elements with you, I'll ask you to take the bread for a second. Hold that in your hand with me. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of your Savior. Let's pray for a second. Jesus, thank you. Again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sacrificing yourself for us to give us a new life, a new destiny, a new purpose. Be our center. Be our core. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. And then if you have the cup with you, the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, take and drink of it in remembrance of him And let's pray together, church. And as we close our prayer time, I'll ask you to join me in repeating the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great gift of this table. It is a table of celebration, a feast of salvation, of restoration, of being put back together again. And I pray that today all of us would find healing in this moment, that all of us would find transformation in this moment, that in this moment we would take that one closer step to you. Continue to work in us, Jesus. Help us to survive the days. Help us to survive the life choices. Help us to survive the family turmoils that come our way. Help us to survive the career moments. Help us to live for you in all of them, to put you first, to declare you in all we do, that people might see and hear you through us, not just see us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. Wash us. Thank you that in you our sins are forgiven, but cleanse us yet again. Refresh us yet again. Continue to change us. Thank you. Today we just say thank you. We thank you for the way that you lived. We thank you for the way that you loved others, that you love us. And we thank you especially when you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom is from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.